Hollywood writers are obsessed with the concept of an asteroid heading towards Earth and destroying civilization. But is this something we really should be worried about? I'm Kate the Chemist, and on my podcast, Seeking a Scientist, we meet the mastermind behind a real-life mission to divert the path of an asteroid. Subscribe to Seeking a Scientist, made possible by the Stars Institute.
From KCUR, this is Up to Date with Steve Kraske. I'm producer Elizabeth Ruiz. Only one in three adults in the U.S. have advanced directives for when they die. The thought of planning for death is often difficult, but preparation, support, and an advocate can help ease the worry for everyone involved. Let's listen to Steve talk with KC End of Life President Nikki Staub about how to plan for death and why it's important. Plus, find out how an end-of-life doula can support people as death approaches.
Well, Nikki, I said in the intro that only a third of U.S. adults have advanced directives for when they die. Let's talk first about what is an advanced directive.
So advanced directives are something that you can get for what you need is a power of attorney, which is your healthcare agent, somebody who that you're going to talk to about making those decisions for you if you are unable to make those decisions.
You're going to entrust them with a lot of authority.
Exactly. And really, when you're looking at that, you want to talk to somebody or think of somebody who might not be emotionally fully involved if there is something that happens to you. So while many people will use a child or a spouse, it can be very difficult for them to make those decisions for you. So sometimes it is better to even think of a friend or someone else in that site.
So if someone vocalizes to their spouse or a family member what they want, does that have them covered?
No, it doesn't. They need to have the power of attorney. You need to have the power of attorney.
You got to take an official step here.
Yep, you have
and
to
get
take
documents
an official
signed.
Step. Exactly. And then you also need advanced care directives. A lot of people don't have that. And that is just a way for you to say exactly what you do want. You know, do you want, you know, if you are unresponsive or you're in a coma, do you want somebody to to make the decision to have a ventilator? Do you want the doctor to make that decision? Or do you not want that at all? So really, you need to. You don't know what is going to happen, so you really need to take the steps to let people know what you would want and what that means to you so that you can have what you want at end of life.
You know, these conversations tend to be so difficult, even though we all know we're going to die someday, Nikki, but what do you think slows or even prevents adults from getting, you know, these affairs in order when they should get them in order?
I think it's really hard for them to have that conversation with family members. I think that is one reason that we are having an event that we are is because we're having an outsider to come in as Casey End of Life and have those conversations with you and help start those conversations. Really, one of the biggest things that we're trying to do is normalize those conversations. And what we have found is, you know, when we're speaking to children, even they are ready to have those conversations and tell you exactly what they would want and exactly how things would go. But then you see the adults, their parents turning the other direction and running away. So it really is just normalizing that and letting people know just because you're talking about your end of life doesn't mean that it's going to make it happen any sooner.
You know, the events that Nikki just referred to, a two-program set of events coming up at the Kansas City Public Library, Demystifying Your End-of-Life Wishes, Understanding Advanced Directives. That'll take place on April 16th, which is which day?
It is National Healthcare Decisions Day.
Okay, coming up just a few days, mm-hmm. 5 o'clock at the Kansas City Public Library Plaza Branch. And there's a second event on the 21st of April. Start the conversation, build your advanced directive step by step, 2 o'clock on the 21st, also at the Plaza Branch here. I'll give that information out again a little bit later in our show. You know, our producer for this segment, Elizabeth Ruiz, who said it's been on her mind for years to get some of this together, but she thought it would be a really expensive process. Is it?
It can be, absolutely. If you are going to an estate planning and you're getting your will or trust, yes, all of that can be very expensive, but it doesn't have to be. It can be just going to the 5wishes.org for $5. You can get your own advanced care directives to go through with your family. Or you can just go on the government website, either Kansas or Missouri, type in advanced care directives, and you can download that. It will have your power of attorneys, your advanced care directives all together. Print that out. Go through it with your family. With Kansas, you either need two witnesses or a notary. In Missouri, you do need two witnesses and a notary. Wow. So there is that bit of difference, but it is, and you can go to any library in Kansas City and they have notaries for free. So you could do everything for free.
And again, the difference here is if you have an attorney do it for you, it's more expensive. But if you do it yourself, you can get by fairly inexpensively if you
Absolutely.
Put in the time.
Absolutely. And it really doesn't take much time at all.
At what point, at what age, Nikki, should people start getting these legal documents in order?
Honestly, they should when they're wanting to make the decisions for themselves. So I would say 18, if you feel like you want to make these decisions for yourself and you don't want somebody else making them for you, then you should be getting these in place. If you're fine with somebody else making those decisions, like a parent or a grandparent or a sibling, then, you know, have at it. But I think most of us really feel that we know what we want or at least have an idea and really want to have those decisions for ourselves. And it just makes it easier for your family. If you tell your family exactly what you want and you tell your family, this is how, you know, these conversations about how I want at end of life, it really can be easier for your family. It doesn't cause that infighting or that nervousness or putting it all on them to make those decisions.
So what if you go ahead and you take these steps, Nikki? Are you locked in for the rest of your life? What if your plans change?
Absolutely. Plans change, and so do legal documents. You can shred your legal document and tell your, you know, make another one. When you do have these documents, some of the things that you want to do with them is to distribute copies to your friends and families, have that conversation, want to store them in a safe place. You're going to want to inform your healthcare providers, give them to your primary care physician, and you're going to also want to review them regularly. Like you said, your plans might change when you're 18 and when you're in your 40s. Things change, and you're going to want to make sure that you have those how you're wanting them.
You know, for so many people, these things are sort of like one of those things they ought to do, and they never get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And any advice on how you might encourage people to sort of deal with this sooner rather than maybe when it's too late?
Absolutely. One of the things that we see at end of life and that I tell people is that we see a lot of family fighting. I do a lot of tightrope walking as a doula, to be honest. And it is hard. It's hard to watch because your focus should be on your loved one. It should be on your emotions. It should be on your grief. It shouldn't be on, you know, who said what and, you know, this person thinks it should be this way and another this way. So when you say, this is what I want, this is how I want it to go, then you're telling everybody. And another great thing to do is once you get your advanced care directives and your power of attorney to take a video of yourself saying, this is what I want. And that actually will hold up in court better than even just the paperwork.
Give me an example of something that people might ask for in their advanced directives, Nikki. What kinds of issues are we dealing
with?
Yeah,
absolutely. Here? So let's say that you are in a car accident, you're in a coma, and you may need a ventilator. Some people would feel that they absolutely don't want that. Some people would say, yes, 100%. My grandmother says, whatever you do, don't pull the plug. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's her decision. And then some people might say, I would like to leave it up to the doctors in charge. So if they feel like that this could extend my life and I could have a quality life afterwards, then I would like for the doctor to make that decision. And if not, then I would like for the doctor to also, you know, say, no, this is not going to help and make that decision as well.
And your point is you can lay all this out
Absolutely.
In these end-of-life directives.
Yes, you can be as descriptive and detailed as you want.
You know, you mentioned this term just a couple of minutes ago, doula,
mm-hmm.
and you are an end-of-life doula. What is that?
So an end-of-life doula is someone who comes in and is with a family. We provide practical, emotional, and spiritual support for our families. And what that can look like, we're not instead of hospice, we're just another part of the team. So doulas, it actually come from birthing doulas. We took a look at what birthing doulas do, and they help the baby, they help the mom, they help the spouse, they help the healthcare providers. They're on that team. And that's what we do as well. So we're there for the person who is dying. We're there for their caregivers, their friends and family. We're also there to help hospice and how it's needed. We are not there instead of hospice or instead of your healthcare providers. We're there to be just a part of the team and just to to be able to stay with the family as needs arise.
Hospice is a place where you go to die, and you're saying a doula, or it can be, and a doula is someone who it comes in and helps the family navigate these moments. Mm-hmm. Am I getting the distinction right?
Yes, there's a little bit of a difference. So hospice can come into anywhere, if into your home.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. But one of the things that we're seeing is you know, as more people are dying, hospice is getting, you know, more and more that they're having to deal with. And hospice is only allowed to do so much, and they're only allowed to do it for so long. So there's a little more of this red tape that they have to deal with. And I will tell you, the workers, you know, are absolutely amazing and make those connections that last, you know, throughout, you know, the rest of this person's life. But one of the things that doulas can do is come in and stay. We don't have that red tape. We bring in different things. We have doulas who are grief therapists. We have doulas who do Reiki. We have doulas who are massage therapists. We have a doula who does classical guitarist.
Wow.
So we have our doulas that come in and have our training. We have our professional training that we do, but we also come in with these different backgrounds and provide these services. One of the things when I went into a client in the hospital, I go in without any expectations because I don't know what I'm going to find. And it was like a volcano was going to erupt in there. And I see this little 3-year-old boy just kind of running around, and I can see that the tension's rising even more with him. And so I said, "Hey, my name is Nikki Stott. I'm your end-of-life doula. Could I go take him and run the halls?" And absolutely. So we went and ran the halls for a little bit while things calmed down. And then we were able to come back in and really start how it is. So we see what's needed and we get in there.
Don't go away. When the conversation returns, Lumi Brinker shares how an end-of-life doula supported a close friend through passing.
Can we heal the environment? In Kansas, we're working on it. Up From Dust is a podcast about how humans reshaped the world to fit urban landscapes and agricultural needs. We'll meet the people who are rolling up their sleeves to find more sustainable ways forward. Listen to Up From Dust from KCUR, part of the NPR network.
Well, let me bring in Lumi Brinker into our conversation. Lumi's dear friend Kathy had no close family members as she was passing. Nikki was her end-of-life doula who helped Lumi's friend through the end of her days. Lumi, briefly tell me about Kathy and how a doula helped her through her passing.
Yeah, Kathy was an incredible woman, and she definitely wanted to honor her body, and when it said it's time to go, it was time to go. She didn't want to have any kind of interference medically or otherwise. She always wore a do not resuscitate band and just had these beliefs where she just really wanted to go as naturally and organically as possible, or in her own words, as authentically and intentionally as possible. And Nikki really helped make that happen.
Did your friend Kathy have advanced directives like Nikki's been suggesting here before she passed, Lumi?
Oh, yes, she did. She did.
Lots of them,
and That really, really helped all of us so much. I can't even imagine how stressful that process would have been if she wouldn't have taken the time to just very, very clearly and in great detail explain where she wanted all of her belongings to go and all of those kinds of things. It really took such a huge weight off of all of us. There was really no guesswork in any of that. So it really helped all of us out.
It's interesting. You told our producer that having these directives done, you know, it's really the dying person's way of taking care of those who will take care of them. Explain that and why you think that help is so important.
Absolutely. Because all of us were focused on supporting Kathy's decision and being there for her during this time. And so she wanted to give back. She wanted to help us out by saying, okay, well, when I'm gone, you know, I'd like this and this and that, you know, through my dying process, I'd like this and this and that. She just really took that time to share with us what was most important to her, what was most valuable to her, and we just did our best to support her in that. And it just became very, very easy when it's a really hard time that everybody has to go through.
That's interesting. You know, Nikki, but there are some folks out there who just don't care what you do with their stuff and or how they die, for that matter. What would you say to those people?
I would say even though you may not care about it, it takes so much weight off of your family and your friends and everyone that you're leaving behind. If you can just take a little bit of time and just say, you know what, donate this, you know, take this here, you know, I'd like someone to remember me in this way or that way. Just even if you don't care as much, it really helps out and means the world to your friends and family, because it's already such a chaotic time and you're dealing with so much grief and trying to let go that it's just so hard to make any kind of decision in that moment. And so you minimize that whenever you spell everything out. When you spell everything out for someone, you minimize all this processing because there's already so much emotional right. processing going on. And so it's just one less thing to have to worry about or think about. So it provides some clarity and some peace in that way.
Nikki, what would you add to that?
I would completely agree with Lumi, and she says it beautifully that, you know, just because you might not care, there are people around you that are going to and are going to have to deal with that. And it is a long and hard process if you do not spell that out. There's passwords that you need to let people know what things are, bank accounts, different things like that, that you need to have those ready so that if something does happen to you, the person that is taking care of that doesn't have to work for months, years to get that stuff cleared up and taken care of.
I couldn't agree with that more. My dad, being my dad, he spelled it all out, and it just made it so easy. Lumi, you told our producer that one thing that was really meaningful and important to your friend was her pet. And for some people, their animals, you know, they really are truly companions, and that's something a doula can actually help with.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, that was so integral to Kathy's life. She was a bunny woman. She shared the world. She shared bunny medicine, if you will, with everyone in the world. And that was something that was so, so important to her. And her bunny Buxton was there with her through the end. And that was so integral and foundational to her being able to find a sense of peace and calmness in the chaos and her own grief and processing and dying. And Nikki was able to help during all of that. Thankfully, she even had bunnies in her life, so she was able to support not only Kathy while she was going through everything, but also administer medications and care for Buxton, her bunny, the entire time during that process. And that was so, so beneficial for everyone involved, because not everybody had knowledge about bunnies and what kind of care they needed, and Nikki did, and so she helped out in that way. And I know that that meant the world to Kathy. It was everything to her.
I was going to say, Nikki, caring for a pet at a time like that, critical, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, especially when you're having somebody that you're working with who's dying and also their pet who's dying at the same time. That was very difficult, and it was very difficult for Kathy to, because she felt so strongly for her pet. I think a lot of that, it made it difficult for her to want to leave and be able to leave. And so wanting to show her that we had this, that we, you know, everything was going to be taken care of exactly how she wanted. Buxton was going to be cared for just like she cared for him. That really showed her that it was okay.
Lumi, I really get the sense that the experience with the passing of your friend really had a profound effect on you.
Oh my gosh, yes. It was like nothing I've ever experienced before. I'm definitely no stranger to death. I've been to plenty of funerals throughout my life, but there is a huge disconnect that I feel with traditional end-of-life processes and funerary directives. And this was so incredibly intimate. It was, as Kathy and I called it, sacred dying and sacred death. Hmm. And
great,
it was
expression.
So profound.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, without getting...
It was everything.
Without getting too personal or too detailed, Nikki, I'm wondering, you know, what are some things that are important to you? What are some things important to Lumi as part of your own planning for your death one day?
Well, one of the things I feel is very important is things that we do are some legacy work. So if you have some sort, something that you're wanting to leave to the family, whether that's words or something specific, Kathy wanted to leave, she had a collection of bunnies and crystals that she wanted to leave to certain charities, and we were able to make that happen. Another part is we're vigil planning. So one of the things doulas do is sit vigil. So we have our birth plans as we're becoming mothers of how we want our births to look like, but we haven't been really talking about how we want our end of life to work to look like. So you know, you don't have to have a sterile soap that is being brought in. What kind of soaps do you like? What kind of smells do you like? Who do you want to be there by your side? Mm-hmm. Who don't you want to be there by your side? What kind of music? And one of the things with Kathy that was so beautiful is that we had this conversation with her friends. And, you know, she was a little, she was nervous. She wasn't nervous about a lot of things. She wasn't even nervous about death, but she was nervous to talk about her vigil planning. And when we finally did, it was absolutely beautiful. All of her friends were around her. We're going through the different things that she, you know, enjoyed and brought peace to her. And I brought up music, and music really wasn't a big deal to her, which kind of surprised me. So what we decided was, what about reading? What if they read out loud to you? And that's when her face lit up. And, you know, her and her friends were able to go through her her house and pick up books from when she was a child all the way to her favorites as an adult so that they could read to her as she was passing instead of the music that would.
Lumi, how about you?
I would say it would be amazing to have pretty much the same experience almost that Kathy had, where she had everything planned out. Everyone was surrounding her. There was, you know, music in the background. People were guiding her through meditation. Just everything felt so peaceful and serene.
That was Nikki Staub and Lumi Brinker talking with our host, Steve Kraske, about end-of-life doulas and preparing for death. Up to Date is a production of KCUR, and this segment was produced by me, Elizabeth Ruiz. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time.